Welcome back to How to Be a Productive Board Member. We've talked about why we want to serve on a board, what are the advantages and benefits of serving on a board of directors. We've talked about how a board is formed, and in this session we look at the board's role and function within an organization. We're going to talk about five things. First, the board's oversight responsibility, then board meetings and the record-keeping requirements, and board decision-making, and finally building and maintaining a healthy board. So in addressing the role and function of a board, in order to be a productive board member, it is necessary to understand the board's role in a church or ministry. The board of directors is a governing body. It's responsible for overseeing the organization's activities. Boards are responsible for governance, not management. Distinction being, management is a staff function, governance is a board function. Governance is a high-level function that includes things like strategy, oversight, and accountability. Management, on the other hand, is the day-to-day operations of an organization. The board of directors focuses on things like mission, strategic planning, goal setting. The staff is responsible for management. It focuses on carrying out the ministry mission and planning and goals that the board sets. Now, there's a question that's often asked at this point: can a board member also be a staff member? Well, it's often the case that the senior executive leader of an organization is also a board member, the CEO or the president or the executive director or the senior pastor, typically is a board member. But it's not required that a senior staff person be a voting member of the board. I've seen boards do things differently in this realm. Most of the boards that I've served on, the senior staff person is on the board. As the founder of Peace Fire, I'm on that board, and since we've grown, I'm the executive director of that work, and I am still a board member. President Ryanga has been a board member at Christian Leaders from the inception. It's very common that the senior executive is a member of the board, but not always the case. Doesn't have to be that way. Other staff members are not typically prohibited from being board members, but doing so increases the likelihood for conflicts of interest. When a person is both a staff member and a board member, it's not difficult to imagine the conflicts that can occur for that individual as they make board-level decisions and then have relationship with the staff and on a day-to-day basis. There's no strict prohibition against staff members being on the board, and oftentimes in smaller ministries and organizations, there just aren't enough people to not have a staff person on the board. Sometimes there are no outside individuals. Everyone engaged in the work is less than a handful, and so to get our requisite number of board members, we have people serving in multiple roles. But as an organization grows, if you're in one of those situations where you have people serving in multiple roles, the sooner you can separate those roles, and you will reduce the opportunities for conflicts to occur in terms of conflicts of interest. But if you are not able to do that, just be aware of the process of addressing conflicts of interest. Every board should have a conflict of interest policy that sets forth a director's responsibilities when a conflict of interest occurs. That board member should always excuse himself or herself from board votes and deliberations that might result in direct or indirect personal benefit to that board member. If the board is discussing staff salaries, for example, a staff member should not be involved in those deliberations and should be excused from those deliberations and those board decisions. Let's talk about board meetings. Board meetings are a statutory requirement. That same statute that lays out the requirements for forming a corporation also contains a provision for how often a board is required to meet on an annual basis. In Illinois, that requirement is at least once a year. As an organization grows, the more frequently the board will need to meet. And my advice to you would be is in terms of how many times should we meet, my response, as often as necessary to perform the board's function of general oversight. Maybe that is once a year. But as the organization grows and needs increase the opportunity to meet more frequently, will probably be advisable. An effective meeting includes setting out an agenda before the meeting that identifies the expectations for what needs to occur during the meeting. So advance planning for board meetings is essential. It's not going to serve the corporation well to just set a date for a meeting and have people show up and the founder provide information at the meeting. It's good to know in advance what's going to be talked about, what are we going to vote on, what decisions need to be made, and that is all set out in the meeting agenda and is sent to the board members before the meeting. You should rarely enter, a productive board member rarely enters a board meeting without knowing what to expect during the meeting. If there are contested matters or issues that exist on the board, and you're aware of those before the meeting, it may be wise to table those matters until those issues are resolved and everyone on the board is in agreement and the matter can be addressed and approved at a future meeting, rather than go into a meeting not knowing what the outcome of the conversation is going to be. If we don't know what the outcome of a conversation is going to be, we shouldn't bring it up to the board unless we're looking to get a sense of where the board is at, and we want to take meeting time to accomplish that. There are always going to be deliberations in a board meeting, and certainly it's one of the functions of a board meeting. But typically, we approach our agenda with we know the things we want to accomplish in that meeting. We've talked with all the board members beforehand, and we are going to address them one by one, move through the agenda, and have an efficient meeting. Meeting minutes should include any actions voted on, any decisions made by the board, and other information that is required to be in the minutes. Minutes do not need to be detailed of every word spoken during the meeting. Be aware of some items that need to be recited in meeting minutes, whether on a periodic basis, once a year or every few years. In some states, like Florida, meeting minutes need to reflect that the board has discussed and the conflict of interest policy. And there, in fact, there's a form that board members need to sign that the conflict of interest policy was made available and reviewed by the board members and that they understand it. Housing allowances of pastors needs to be recited in the meeting minutes each year when those allowances are set. And there may be other local requirements items in your bylaws that you may need to recite in the minutes as you give attention to those matters from time to time. Board meetings should be informed. I'm sorry, board members should be informed about meetings in advance regarding the protocols of the meeting. And organizing the agenda is a key step in preparing for those meetings. You may be a board member who has a relationship, maybe you're the chair of the board, and it's your role to work with the CEO or the president of the organization in preparing the agenda. This was my role with President Reinga for many years. We would talk weeks in advance of an upcoming meeting. We would discuss what was going to be on the agenda. I would prepare the agenda and distribute the agenda to other board members. And without fail, I would have questions for President Reinga about, you know, from time to time, whether to bring up a certain topic at this meeting that he had on the agenda. Was that a good idea? And he always knew whenever I asked him that question, he had already spoken to all the board members and knew where each board member was in relation to their decision and their view on those matters. And so he just did an excellent job, does an excellent job of working with the board, keeping them informed. And when important decisions need to be made, he reaches out to them, communicates with them, lets them know what the issues are, and gets their feedback in advance of the meeting so that when we come to the meeting, everyone is informed about what we're voting on. We can have some final discussion in the meeting, and then we take our vote. So that pre-meeting organization is a very important part for a productive board member to participate in helping board meetings run efficiently and productively. Board meetings also provide unique opportunities to enhance the relationship of every board member with the mission of the organization and with the organization itself. And so as you plan on a meeting agenda, it's much more than just a list of decisions that need to be made, a list of actions to be taken. The board meeting itself is an opportunity to enhance board relationships. And so be mindful of that. We want board members to leave the meeting inspired, to be a part of what the Lord is doing in this organization. And sometimes that falls to one or more board members to pay attention to that. Is that happening on our board? Is our board lagging in spirit? Are we going through a rough season and maybe we're having to make some tough choices, financial or otherwise? And the opportunity at each meeting to remember, here's the mission. This is why we're here. And let's give thanks for that, even in this difficult season, so that we can remember the Lord's blessing in calling us to board membership, remember that we're in this together, and that we have an opportunity to walk in unity of the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about board decision-making. How does a board make decisions? Well, the manner in which a board makes decisions is typically laid out in the organization's bylaws. And the bylaws will identify a quorum that must be present for a vote to be taken. And by a quorum, we mean a certain number or percentage of the total board that needs to be present in order for votes to be taken. Sometimes a quorum is a majority of the board members. So if we have 10 board members, we would need at least 6 present to have a quorum. And if we didn't have a quorum present, we couldn't take a vote at that meeting. And in fact, during the COVID pandemic, we had this situation at one of our Christian Leaders board meetings. We had several members who were unable to attend for various reasons. Of course, travel was a restriction, and we had Zoom challenges. We had Wi-Fi challenges where the meeting was taking place. And so when we prepared to take a vote, we recognized we did not have a quorum present, and so we could not take a vote. And so all of the matters that we had planned on voting on in that meeting were tabled to the next meeting because we didn't have a quorum. But if a quorum is present, a vote can be taken, and then the bylaws will provide how many votes do you need to take action. Is it a simple majority? Is it more than a majority? And the bylaws will lay out sometimes that there are certain types of decisions that require a supermajority vote. Things like often might be related to the buying and selling of real estate or the termination of the senior executive. These are matters that might require more than a simple majority vote. But all of those provisions are laid out in the organization's bylaws, which is a good indication of why it's important for board members to know and be familiar with the organization's bylaws. So understanding the decision-making process prevents confusion, and it protects the board from taking unauthorized action. Let's close this session by talking about building and maintaining a healthy board. Not all pastors and organizational leaders have had positive experiences with their board of directors. A wise leader views board meetings and board members as strategic relationships, strategic meetings. These are partners in ministry. It can easily become when board relationships are challenged, the board can become a burden that the law requires. And that leader sees the board then as an obstacle to accomplishing the mission of the organization, or at least their goals. We want these relationships to be healthy. As a productive board member, we're fostering a partnership between the leader of this management team and the board of directors. Every board deserves skilled and highly participative board members who are engaged and aligned with the mission. So before recruiting board members to build your board or to enhance your board, think first about the needs of the board. And then, as we did in our founders board, we will pray. Ask the Lord to send us the men and women that He is calling to join us. Men and women who are aligned with our vision, aligned with our mission. A productive board member is a strategic partner, not just a body that can fill a chair. All board members should be aligned with the organization's mission and purpose. Alignment is more important than skill or abilities that a potential board member might bring to the team. Recruiting a talented board member who is not aligned with mission can be disruptive and divisive. So it's important also for potential board members to understand the culture of the organization. Have they spent time around the ministry? Are they familiar with the staff? Are they familiar with the work? Are they aligned with the mission and the vision? Alignment is more important than the skills that they bring. Alignment first, then skills. An example of this, there was a time when we were looking for more board members at Christian Leaders. And from time to time, President Rango would reach out to me and say, "Hey, I want you to meet so-and-so, and I want you to tell me what you think about them as a potential board member." And so we would meet, and I remember once we met a brother who had significant board experience in some public charity work, and this man had a great professional background, very well respected in the community. He was a well-to-do individual, so on many fronts, this was an ideal board member. We could check off almost every box of what we're looking for in a board member except alignment. He wasn't, in talking with him and conversing with him, we could see that he was unfamiliar with our mission. And when we talked about that mission, you know, it doesn't take long in talking with someone about your mission that you can tell whether they engage with it or not. And we could see that alignment was not there in this case. And so we did not extend an invitation to that brother, even though he was qualified on all these other fronts. Because we know that when we bring someone in who has gifts, who has abilities, who has experience, and you bring them in to a board where they're not aligned, the tendency for most board members is, I want to do something. I want to contribute. And I want to make my presence known. I'm bringing all this talent here, and I'm going to use it. And if they're not aligned, if they don't know the culture, their well-intended efforts are going to create disruption. And sometimes the Lord allows that to happen, and He can bring good things out of that disruption, but oftentimes it can also disrupt in such a manner that it damages relationships with other board members and creates confusion and then division. Disruption is one thing, division is another. So I would rather take a board that is packed with members who are aligned with our vision and passionate about the mission over a board of talented board members who are more interested in their board status than the board, the organization's mission. Well, in building a well-rounded board, I want to talk briefly about what I call four chairs of board membership. Because again, we're going to assume now that everyone that we're talking with is aligned with our mission. And so now we're going to look to that second level of the skills and the talents that we need to have a well-rounded board. And these four chairs help us consider four areas of ability, four areas of need that every organization has. The first is the wisdom chair. And here we're talking about people who have wisdom. They have some knowledge. They have some background in an area of expertise that is relevant to our mission. The second chair is the wealth chair. And here we're talking about provision. Now, it may be that they are personally wealthy and can contribute to the ministry, but many wealthy, very wealthy people don't have time or the attention to give to board membership. And so when we're talking about the wealth chair, it might also mean just someone who is connected to people of means. But their function on the board is to help us get connected to people who can support the work financially. The third chair is the work chair. These are doers. These are board members who may not have a lot of money to contribute. They may not have a wealth of knowledge to contribute or wisdom, but they are ready, willing, and able. They are so committed to this organization that they are willing to give their time and effort, whether it's at fundraising events, board meetings, opportunities to meet with people who are potential donors, whatever, potential board members, others. These are the work chair. And then finally, the woo chair. These are networkers, influencers. Every board needs someone who can network in the community, introduce the organization to new friends and new opportunities, whether for service or for connection, for funding. But this is the woo chair. Let's review the points from this session. Boards are responsible for the oversight and governance of the corporation. Board meetings should be well planned in advance. Board meetings are opportunities to enhance each board member's connection to the mission. Understanding how decisions are made can protect the board from taking unauthorized action. And building and maintaining a productive board begins with prayer and recruiting board members who are aligned with the organization's mission. Well, thanks for watching this session. We'll see you in the next one. God bless you.